MCA. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." This is the word of the Lord for us.
Imagine with me for a moment that there's a church, a local church, and they're wanting to attract some new members. And so they come up with a campaign to do so, and you see it on billboards and in yard signs and in the local newspaper. And it says, "Learn how to deny yourself. Come and join us in our pursuit of self-denial." You think they would achieve their goal? You think they would be the newest hot church on the block? I don't think so. Everywhere you look, the message is the exact opposite, isn't it? Your way, your desire, your preference, you deserve it. I remember an ad campaign from a car company a few years ago that was, "We put the you in SUV. It was like, that's really corny. But the point remains, it's all about you. And so I don't think that that church would be very successful. I don't think that that countercultural message, "What are we about? Self-denial." I don't think that would be the thing. But isn't it interesting that that's exactly what Jesus said? Isn't that interesting? That Jesus, when wanting to build his base of followers, Jesus, in calling people to himself, says, "Deny yourself." If you want to be my disciple, we heard this a moment ago. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, it's Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. If you want to be my disciple, Jesus says, you must deny yourself. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Wow. Again, it's like, who hired that guy as our campaign manager? Who hired Jesus to come up with the advertising? He didn't say, "Come unto me." We're talking triple scoop of fudge sundae ice cream. He didn't say, "Come unto me, we'll make it a waffle cone." He didn't say, "Come unto me, your favorite hobby, that pursuit you'll be successful at." He didn't say, "Come unto me," when we're talking game nights and laughing until it hurts and cantina chicken tacos. He said, "You want to follow me? Yeah, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross." But before we go any further this morning, I need to boldly declare this. Oh, God has good things for us. Like, I'm not leading us down this path that says, flagellation and doing without and suffering. Like God has good things for us. And so we receive from him with grateful hearts all of those good things. Sunday dinners, time with family, strawberry rhubarb pie. I praise God for those things. It's just that when Jesus calls us to follow him, he doesn't entice us with those things. He doesn't mention those things. Because here's the reality. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him. And so the scriptures call us, really time and time again, to fix our eyes on him, on Christ. Not our preferences, but his. Not our will, not our desires, not our agenda, not our plans, but his. So friends, this morning we're going to look closely at this verse in Matthew chapter 16, the words of our Lord Jesus. In fact, we're going to look at it not just this morning, over the next several weeks. We're going to talk about, we're going to learn what Jesus is calling us to here. Because it's really important for us. And he begins with this simple two-word phrase of deny yourself. And so I want to highlight this morning how important that is in our pursuit of Christ, in our response to we do want to be his disciple. We do want to enjoy life in his kingdom. And so what does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So let me introduce myself. I'm John. I am blessed to serve as pastor here at MCA. I'm thrilled that you are with us today. And I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. I said, stronger in the Lord. What I mean by that is spiritual maturity, growth, walking more closely with Jesus today than you did yesterday. Like, that's my heart, that's my prayer, that we are journeying with Christ. And in that journey, he makes us stronger. He transforms us. He changes us. He is with us. See, Jesus calls people to follow him. You and me, some of us have been following Jesus a long time, haven't we? Long time. We've been walking with Jesus. He calls other people to follow him as well, the ones who have not yet responded in faith to follow him. But no matter which one we are, he is calling us to follow him. And Jesus doesn't really mince words when it comes to what he expects. So, like he says, you can't serve two masters. He's calling us to say, like, so you would choose then whether you're going to follow me. And if you choose to follow me, then you're not following anybody else. And we know that even the heart of God all the way back in Exodus chapter 20. No other gods before me. So Jesus says, you can't have two masters. You can choose to follow me. He says, if you're not for me, then you're against me. And in that call, he says that we are to give up our lives for the sake of the gospel. But again, God gives us good things. Because what he goes on to say then, this is actually Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, is that if you give up your life for the cause of the gospel, then he is going to reward you 100-fold. He gives an abundant life. So when we talk about denying self, which is not a real feel-good topic, and I acknowledge that. Like, what are we getting at? What are we talking about? What is Jesus saying? If he says, you want to be my disciple, and I think most of us in here go, yep. Deny yourself, huh? What is he getting at? Again, here's what he's not saying. He's not saying you can't enjoy the life that I'm giving you. He's not saying that. Jesus himself, like during his time on earth, you look at his life and his ministry, and Jesus was a guy who enjoyed food and drink and feasts. In fact, he was criticized for that. He tells us this very clearly, John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, depending on which English translation you're reading, abundant life, life to the fullest. That's his heart for us. He wants us to have an abundant life, a full life, a life in his kingdom. But in order to get that, he calls us to go all in. That's the name of this sermon series, by the way, these next 4 weeks, to go all in. I'm not talking about go all in because this is a church that needs you. No, you should be plugged into a local church, absolutely. I'm talking about all in terms of who is your master, who is your Lord. And that's Jesus calling us to say, I want you to be my disciple, but you have to be all in, because you cannot serve two masters. So when he says deny yourself, he's not saying you can't enjoy the life he gives you. He's offering us an abundant life. So I'll just give you a precursor. This morning is deny yourself. Next week is take up your cross. The next week is following Jesus. And then the final week is living on mission for him. As Kyle mentioned, we are doing an event tomorrow that's really for the eclipse, like gather and watch and be here together. We're hoping in that way to serve and bless our community, to provide a place to come and be together. And I heard about a son who asked his dad, hey, dad, do you know what a total eclipse actually is? And the father pondered for a moment and then replied, no, son. So again, this morning, we are talking about Some of you are just getting it. Denying ourselves in response to Jesus' call, said, you want to be my disciple, then deny yourself. And really, guys, what this means is we turn away from our old sinful nature and we say yes to a new life, an abundant life in Christ. And in so doing, we are changed and we are transformed. And really, this is the good news of the gospel, that even though we've done wrong, we've sinned, our punishment that we deserve for our wrongdoing is eternal separation from God. Even though we've done wrong, even though the wages of sin is death, Christ has made a way for us to be redeemed, to be saved, to be at one with our Heavenly Father. And it's when we put our faith in Him that we now walk in loving communion, relationship with Almighty God. And at the end of the age, when we stand before Him and His judgment, it's not going to be based on the good things we did, the bad things we did. It's going to be based on the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His shed blood, when we put our trust in Him, that we're atoned for. And we're back in relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. That's the good news of the gospel. And so in that process of turning to Him in faith, we're changed. We're transformed. We put off the old and on with the new. In fact, in Galatians 2:20, Paul talks about being crucified with Christ. And we'll talk more about that next week. But so what it means to deny self is it's this changing from our old ways to these new ways, a life in Christ, an abundant life. It also means that in the process of denying self, we are learning to sort of discern or differentiate between what a pastor friend of mine recently shared as the difference between good and God. And what he meant by that was, like, there are things in life that you could do that might even be good to do, but God has something even better. And so sometimes we say no to things that are good because we want God's best. There are a lot of good things we could pursue, but we want to pursue that which Christ is calling us to pursue. And that's the difference. So biblical self-denial, honestly, it oftentimes means giving up a lesser legitimate joy for the sake of a greater one. That's oftentimes biblical self-denial. Giving up a lesser legitimate joy in pursuit of a greater one. So there's nothing wrong with a weekly guys' night. Play games, watch sports, bond. But sometimes the Lord says, I want you to be home and I want you to do bedtime with the kids. I want you to have dinner with your family and do bath time and do devotions. And you say to the guys, in this season, I feel like God is calling me to be home. So I can't do this weekly guys' night any longer. It's something that might be good, but God is leading you to something else. And that might seem like a personal sacrifice, like you're denying yourself. But you see, when you know that's what God has called you to do, you don't mope around in that. You joyfully embrace that. Because let me just ask you this. Do you trust that God knows what's best for your life? Because then you joyfully, radically follow in those places that He leads you. Oh. Are you still holding on to you think you know what's best for your life? Well, you're going to constantly be facing struggle and conflict and challenge. First and foremost, this inner turmoil. Well, here's what I want. Why doesn't God call me to do the things that are like easy and comfortable and safe and fun? Well, why is it that He calls me to these things that are like going to be really hard and really challenging and feel like a sacrifice? That's where you're going to be caught if you still think, I know what's best for my life. And so really, guys, this is an issue of trust. Do you trust Christ to be Lord of your life? And then you can give up those things that might be good. And you do so joyfully because you're like, oh, well, because God has something even better for me. This is what I know the Lord has given me to do, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So another example might be fasting. And that's not really something we talk a whole lot about. I know I mentioned it recently in the season of Lent, but I like eggs and bacon. I like cheeseburgers and an occasional salad. Why would I give those things up? Why would I not eat? Because guys, there are times where I've only had the spiritual breakthrough because I'm fasting. I'm meditating on the scripture. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And you say, show me the Bible verse that says I have to fast in order to be a Christian. No, not there. Food is good, I agree. But when God calls you to something and he says, I have something even better, even greater than that cheeseburger. This is what Jesus is getting at, guys. When he says, you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. If you want to talk more about that after the service or offline, I'm glad to help you with that. That's something you want to get into, want to start practicing. It is one of the greatest prayer tools that we have, fasting. Giving up some sleep in order to do your devotions and time with the Lord. Giving up some TV time in order to spend time with God, or giving up leisure time to help with a service project. Like, or you really want to buy those designer sneakers that you know are just really astronomically priced, and you say, I'm not going to buy those. Instead, I'm going to take those funds and I'm going to use them to support mission work, like giving clean water to people who don't have access to it. It's like those sort of choices where, again, you're not moping around saying, oh, I really wanted the sneakers, but I gave it to kids who need water. I really wanted a cheeseburger, but I'm fasting today, right? Like that's not it, guys. It is the abundant life. It is the joyful life. It is the life that says, Jesus, I want to be your disciple. And knowing you is the most important thing in the entire world. And so I'm going to pursue you with everything in me. And God, what I've received from you, what I know of you, is you've got something even bigger, even better in mind. Bigger and better. You guys, did any of you guys play that game when you were teenagers? The bigger and better game, where you start out with like a paperclip and the youth leader's like, now come back in 4 hours and see what you've traded up for. I don't know, maybe it was just the youth groups I was part of, but then you try to come back with like a TV or a car or something and you've traded up. I don't know how that fits into this idea. I did bring a quote though from Jim Elliot, who once said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And really, that's sort of a paraphrase of what Jesus said. Again, the scripture passage we read from Matthew 16. Like, what good is it if you gain the whole world, but you forfeit your soul? And you don't really have to look very far to see people who are going all in their respective area or field. We think of sports. I mean, there are so many stories of athletes who go to these extreme measures because they want to be the best, because they want to be elite, because they've got their eyes on the prize. They want to win the championship. They want to be the MVP. They're practicing, they're conditioning, their fitness, their nutrition. Like, it's been reported that LeBron James spends $1.5 million each year on his body. And you go, wow, $1.5 million every year just on, like, you know, his personal trainers and his chefs and nutritionists and the strength and conditioning, like all those kind of, that, like, that seems crazy. But then you realize he's got goals and he wants to be the best. He wants to be successful, and that's what leads him to that success. He's all in. You see that in a lot of athletes. In fact, LeBron James is the guy who in 2016 led the Cavaliers in one of the greatest comebacks of all times in the finals, down 1-3 against Golden State. I was rebuked last week for not mentioning that because I was talking about stories of great comebacks. So there, I mentioned it. Wow. Why do athletes sacrifice so much of their family, of their personal time, of so many things? It's because they're on a mission. Because they've got a goal. And here's the correlation. Here's why I mention all that. Is because Jesus really makes those same claims for his kingdom. Do you want to be my disciple? Then go all in. There's nothing else that even competes with it. There's no price too great that you'll have to pay. There's no sacrifice too great that you'll have to make. Because we have our eyes on the prize. Because we have a mission. Because Jesus offers us an abundant life. Paul says in 1 Timothy, it's life that is truly life. Now, there's a character in the Bible, John the Baptist, who understood this. So, remember, he was the one martyred by beheading. He was a faithful forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist was this eccentric guy. He was this weird guy, but people kind of liked him. They were kind of intrigued by him. He was kind of a spectacle. And so all these people began to flock to him and come to him and follow him and really adore him. And by the time he had accrued this large following, well, then Jesus comes on the scene. So John the Baptist had a decision to make, like, okay, but if they follow Jesus and start going after him, then I no longer have all the accolades. I'm going to fade into oblivion. But he makes the decision to say, go follow him. So John 3 in verse 30, he says, he must increase, I must decrease. John 3:30. What a great prayer for you and I. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. The way I use my time, the way I use my money, the way I use my influence and my platform and those people that listen to me and that I have some impact in their lives, how am I using that? Am I using it to garner my own selfish ambitions? Or am I using that to say, Jesus, it's all about Jesus? So I want to encourage you with this today, that as you consider pursuing Christ, as you consider putting your life in his hands, would you pray that same way that John the Baptist said? That you would decrease? Like, it sounds really nice, doesn't it? But would you pray that way? Lord, less of me. Lord, less of what I'm hoping to accomplish, what I want to see happen, the way I like things, the way that makes me feel comfortable. Would you be willing to pray that way? Submit that to the Lord and say, no, Lord, what you want. And it might be hard, and it might lead to suffering, and it might be very uncomfortable. You might send me 1,000 miles from here. But what you want, oh God. So as we consider this morning this great challenge to deny ourselves, with the rest of our time, I want to share three ways that we can do that. And it starts with allowing God to search your heart. So that challenge that I just mentioned of, would you be willing to pray that? Like, would you be willing to allow God to search your heart in this way? Like, again, this is an issue of the heart. This idea of denying self is not a list of do's and a list of don'ts. You know, it can seem really tempting for religious groups to start putting pressure on their people to conform. But that the Lord cares about what's on the inside. He's not just looking for these external things. He's not looking for just do the good thing, do the right thing, be righteous, be holy. He cares about, well, think about it this way. What good does it do if you're following all the rules, but you're grumbling about it? Because God knows your heart and God knows your attitudes. Like, what good does it do to fall in line and do the right thing if our attitude is bad? But see, when you do this turning to Christ, like, no longer me, it's not about me, it's about you, he starts to transform you, he starts to change you, your heart begins to beat in line with his. So he changes you, but he changes you from the inside out. So here's what David says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what I'm challenging us to pray. Oh God, search my heart. Know what's within me. Is there any offensive way in me? And then note what he says there. Lead me. You lead, oh God, and I will follow. Your will be done, O Lord. Your ways are higher than my ways. This really shows this attitude that we're to have. I want the abundant life that God offers, and I trust God for that, not my own intuition. So honestly, maybe that's what you need today. Like beyond the other 2 points, maybe this is just what you need to hear. Maybe this is what you need to do. A genuine and heartfelt time with the Lord. Search me, O God. And maybe in that time, you can ask yourself and ask yourself in the presence of God, where's my life leading? What are the priorities that are guiding my decisions? Those questions have a tendency to kind of reveal our heart and our motivation. So ask the Lord to search your heart and ask the Lord to direct your steps. Again, that's part of that prayer in Psalm 139 is, search me and know me, but then it's lead me in the way everlasting. So ask God to search your heart. That's the first thing. The second is to live with open hands. In fact, right now, whether you have one available hand or two, I'd like you to do an exercise. You don't have to lift them up, but if you would take a hand or even 2 hands and just clench them into fists. Whatever amount of pressure you want to do, that's fine, but the point is to make a fist and then to slowly open that fist or both of them, to slowly open it. The reason I wanted you to do that is because this is the posture that God wants us to take before Him. This posture of open hands. Because when you're holding on to those things, your hands aren't open to receive what God has for you, are they? When you're holding on to, when you're clutching your will, your agenda, your way, your plan, then you're not positioned like this to receive from God all He has. So live with open hands. Have a posture and an attitude that says, oh God, I want what you've got. Oh God, here I am to receive from you these good things. Don't clutch so tightly that you miss out on the good things that God has. It happened to a guy in the Bible. We read about it in Mark chapter 10. It was a wealthy man, and he wanted to follow Jesus. I'll read this encounter for us. Mark 10, starting verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. There's one thing you lack, Jesus said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And you guys know what happens. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. It's a really graphic illustration, isn't it? Clutching so tightly to what? Money? Things of the earth? Things that are going to fade? And he misses out on life in the kingdom of God. And he misses out on being a follower of Jesus because he wasn't living with open hands. So friends, listen, you got to take this posture before the Lord. You got to let go of those things. To say, I'm not holding on to anything of this earth if it means I miss out on clinging to Christ. That was a man who did not heed the call of Jesus to deny himself. But we know better. And so we live life with open hands. We don't clutch onto the things of this life. Now, listen, I want to just camp out here just a minute. Like, why does Jesus tell this guy to get rid of his wealth? Is it because Jesus wants him to live in poverty and to suffer? No. It's because Jesus wants him to embrace the kingdom of God and embrace Jesus as Lord. And Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. So come and follow me, but you got to let go of that. And he made his choice. And did he go with gladness and joy and singing and dancing? Oh, no. Miserable. You know, miser and miserable have the same root word, don't you? Never met a happy miser. They're miserable, just like this guy. He had his wealth. He could buy whatever he wanted. No, he went away sad. But there is freedom when we let go of the things of this earth. We say, yes, God, I want the abundant life. What are you holding on to? And are you willing to let go of it today? To say yes to God and all that he has for you. Maybe it's wealth and riches. Maybe it's the treasures of this earth, like the man in Mark 10. Maybe it's your idea of, well, this is my standard of living. Did God tell you that, or did you just come up with that on your own? I don't know what it is that you're holding on to. Maybe it's your preference for your job, or your preference for your family, or your preference for your ministry involvement. Let go. And say, okay, Lord, I want what you have for me. Guys, this is an issue of trust. It's an issue of trust. Do you trust that God knows what's best for your life? Then release it to him. Drop that pursuit of what you want and of what you're holding on to and pursue Christ. So ask the Lord to search your heart. Live with open hands. And there's one final action step I want to encourage us with this morning, and it's don't look back. Like, you don't look back at the things you've left behind. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you pursue him, and yeah, maybe there are sacrifices along the way, you go all in for Jesus. You deny yourself. You don't dwell on what could have been, right? Again, we don't live life moping around, grumbling about, well, you know, I could have done this, and you know, I could have been that. But God called me to be a pastor. But God called me to be a follower of his. No, you don't look back. Remember what happened to Lot's wife when they left Sodom? We did a study last year in the book of Genesis, chapter 19. She turned into a pillar of salt. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is calling people to follow him. He says this, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." So we move forward. We step into all that God has for us in the days that lie ahead with our eyes fixed on him. As we finish out this morning, I want to read a few verses from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and it highlights this idea of looking ahead. So Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And so much of the imagery there is focused on eternity. So much of his heart and his life is about the things that are never going to fade away. Because, like, Paul had quite a past that he could have looked back on. Like, this was a guy who had a lot of accolades. He's held in high esteem and honor among the Pharisees. He's this gifted leader. Even in his time of, like, persecuting the early church, before he was a follower of Jesus, right? He was someone that was respected and looked up to. I mean, he of all people has things to boast about, he says. He didn't look back. He didn't say, "Let me tell you what I've forfeited." He said, "It doesn't matter what it is, but I consider all of it rubbish compared to the all-surpassing greatness and worth of knowing Christ." Guys, I'm praying that's our heart and our attitude as well. Deny ourselves? Yeah, sure, but it's because we're trading in cheap imitations and things that don't last for things of eternal value. And as we do that, guys, listen, we learn to trust God even more, like every step of the way. Like, I released it and God came through and he blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. And so I trust even more to do the same thing again today. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm journeying with him, and I'm continuing to answer the call to follow him. So he says, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourselves. Okay, yes, absolutely, Lord. What do you want me to give up? What do you want me to do? I want to move forward with the life that you have given me. And again, I just want to affirm this for you today, that God has an abundant life for you. That life is better than anything you could dream up or scheme up or imagine. So trust him. Turn it over to him. What's holding you back? What's in your clenched fists that you're unwilling to release before Almighty God? And may we do that today. Because he has an abundant life in store, a plan and a purpose. He wants to use you in growing his kingdom. And it's a kingdom that's not going to fade away. It's going to last forever. The life that we live in Jesus and with Jesus, it starts now, but it lasts for all eternity. So may the Lord use us as we deny ourselves in our pursuit of him to grow his kingdom and reach even more people, because that's what we're committed to, sharing the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. Let's pray together. And as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I would invite you and encourage you to have an open palm or two, a posture of openness and reception to the Lord. O God, our Heavenly Father, the one who gives all good gifts, we say yes to what you have in store. We say yes to your will and your plan. We say yes to you, Christ, as Lord, as Redeemer. How thankful we are for your shed blood that atones for our sins, that gives us the hope for an eternity in paradise in your presence. So, Lord, today we fix our eyes on you, saying yes to your plan and your will. We want to follow you, Jesus, with grateful hearts. We thank you for it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.